All right, let's start. Let's learn. Okay, first we ask to Jeff and to the Chevrot Meridian. Now, how many years we're already learning together in this city, out of this city? It's already been many years. I don't even remember how many. Must be over 15 years, I think. It's a long time.
Baruch Hashem, Ken Yerbo.
Ken Yerbo, we should continue in Yerushalayim, Mr. Hashem.
Amen.
Okay, we're in Perek Vav. In this edition on page Kufei, the paragraph beginning with the word Ukfi Hamuva B'Seifa Sichas Aran. Ukfi Hamuva B'Seifa Sichas Aran. You have the page this one. Is this one? Is this the same one as me? It's different. So where is it there? You didn't find it yet? Page Samach Tes?
Tzadik Tes.
Tzadik Tes. Okay, fine. And Tzadik Tes. So we're talking about Ein Lecha Odom She'en Lecha. We're talking about the time of Hizbodus, and we've been learning that even though Rabbi Nachman, of course, did make a big inyan about that Shah Achas, that hour, over the years and the Talmidim, and the changes that have taken place in our lives, the hour is not the Ikkar. The Ikkar we learned is the Kviyus, is consistency, to try to make it a part of our lives. To make it a part of our lives, a way of living. So that's what we're up to. Kfi amuva b'sefer sichas haran. Shafila me'en arov b'shadiburav reisim reisha. Im yasme behem yirishahim palu. Even if a person sees, it says in sichas haran, a person is trying, he's davening, he's doing his bodhus, and he doesn't see that it's making a difference in his life. Im yasme behem Yerushalayim Palu. If you keep up with it, Rabbi Nachman spoke a number of times in Kutim Aran and other svarim from Rabbi Nachman that we have, where he would often talk about how this is a nisayon for a person who's beginning something new in Avodas Hashem to see whether the person is serious. A serious person will work at something and will give it a serious shot. Somebody who is not so serious will try something once or twice, and if it doesn't work, he walks away. So Rabbi Nachman says in a number of places that look, we've done many things in our lives that we shouldn't have done, and we've created many klipas, and there are many blockages. And when we want to start something in Kedusha, it's not so pushy. There's a lot of interference. We've created that interference over the years. We're the source of that interference. And the way that we experience that interference is that when we start this new project in Kedusha, it initially doesn't seem to go. It doesn't seem to go. It's not because Hashem doesn't listen. It's not because he doesn't care. It's not because that Eitzah of the Tzaddikim is not real and it doesn't work. Hashem cares. The Eitzah is a real Eitzah. But we are ourselves responsible for creating many, many blockages that are postponing, that are delaying the effective or visible results of that Eitzah, of that Avoda. So you have to give it time. It has to be consistent. Vehevi Marshal Kmo Mayim HaYardim Al HaEven. Rabbi Nachman brought a Marshal that we're familiar with from Chazal, with Rabbi Akiva, which will be mentioned in a moment, of water that's dripping on a stone. Hafa Pisha Nidmalanu She'ein LaHamayim Koach Keneged HaEven HaKosha. Now it seems to be a ridiculous fight between these tiny little gentle and timid drops of water and the stone. It seems to be an unfair match, and it's not shaykh for the water to win. And the answer is, it's true. The drops of water cannot possibly defeat the stone. It can't possibly carve a hole in the stone unless the dripping continues for a long time every day, every minute, actually. That's the marshal. Even though it seems that it's not possible for the water to contend with the hard stone. And when you look at the stone, right, when you start this, right, the water is dripping on the stone. And when you look at the stone, it doesn't seem to you that the water is making any dent or any impression at all. When you look at the stone and you just started dripping the water on the stone, it doesn't seem to do anything. It's completely ineffective. The water is soft. The water is just a little drip of nothing. And the stone is a formidable enemy that can't possibly be defeated. And when you look at the stone, it seems that the stone is laughing, and the water is completely failing at making any dent in the stone. But if the water continues, obviously in the Nimshel, you don't have to wait, 4,000 years or something. But if the water continues dripping, it's consistent. Over time, Hem Oisim Nekev Bahaevin. Over time, it's in the beginning, it's imperceptible. It seems like the water is not affecting the stone at all. But over time, it makes a hole in the oven. Kanir b'chush, that's we see in the world. K'mochein, afilu im libo leva evan. Therefore, even if a Jew has a lev evan, has a heart of stone, chas v'shalom, ve'ein nikar bo roishem diburov u'tfilosov, which the Navi describes, our matzev in Golos. That's why the promise of Mashiach is v'hasirosi leva evan, I will take away your heart of stone. Golos is a matzev where the tzaddikim say that in order for us to not lose our minds and give up hope during Golos, Hashem hardened our heart. Our hearts are hard, because if our hearts would be very, very soft, we wouldn't be able to take all the stuff that's thrown our way. So there's a bracha of having a heart of stone, because if you have a heart that is strong or that's stone, so then it could deal with a lot of the pain and a lot of the disappointments and a lot of the suffering that we've gone through over Golos. But on the other hand, it's miserable to have a stone heart. It's terrible, because the stone heart affects also how we are with Hashem and how we are with our brothers and sisters and our husbands and wives and children and so on. It's not good. Therefore, Mashiach comes, v'asirayisi mekem leva evan. Hashem will take away that heart of stone. Right now, the heart of stone is something which protects us from the difficulties that we're going through. But even this heart of stone, if it is subjected to the constant drip of that drop of water, afopichem birevois hayomim hashanim, over the days and the years, yinakev libay ha'evan, the stone, the heart of stone will be pierced. The heart, even though this person has a stone heart, it will be pierced. It will be penetrated. Aidei sichosa, through constantly trying, continuously, consistently talking to Hashem, making that a part of a person's life, eventually, and much less time than any kind of a physical stone, the heart of stone, because really the heart of a Jew is very soft and good and mushy and gentle. So it's become somewhat hard because of the averis that we've done. So the continuous dripping of our tefillas in a real and sincere way with his bodhis will eventually break through that heart of stone, as it says in pasuk kamashakosuf avanim sachakumayin. That it's an amazing thing that Hashem made the world in such a way. The water has the ability to pierce the stone. As he cites a Lomad Rabbi Akiva, and this, of course, is what we find with Rabbi Akiva, Kshohalach Lomad Torah, that even though, as all of you know, that for the first 40 years of his life, Rabbi Akiva didn't learn, and he was a tremendous Amoritz. And not only was he an Amoritz, but we see from Chazal that he had some sort of a hatred for Talmidei Chachamim. It's hard for us to understand. And then the story of what changed him is not for now, but we know that he decided he was going to begin to learn Torah. But he was very discouraged. How is it possible for somebody like myself to actually become great in Torah when I've wasted so many years of my life and I don't know anything? How could I become great in Torah? So that is something that all of us, that feeling is something that all of us deal with. We all have to, if we're serious about changing, we're discouraged by that thought, that it's all the wasted time and how we're supposed to accomplish anything now. And then, of course, everybody knows that Rabbi Akiva saw Ro'a Evan, Shanatvola Mayim, B'meshach Shonim Rabbi Sachinakur. He saw that there was a stone, and that there was some sort of a drip, and he saw that this stone had a hole in it where the water was dripping. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, Im Mayim Yochlal Nakivus Evan, if something which is as gentle as water is able to penetrate stone, then certainly the water, which is the Torah, which is compared to water, called Tzomer L'chulamayim, or as it says in Parashas Hazinu, Yarev Kemot Alichi Tizal Katalim Rasi, that the Torah is compared to rain, and it's compared even to the dew. The dew is not even a drop that you could see. It's so tiny. But Yizal Katalim Rasi, that Hashem's words fall like the rain. Sometimes it breaks through very quickly. And sometimes it's very, very subtle how it changes you, like the dew. Yizal katal imrasi. Yizal katal imrasi, that my words are like tal. Eye katal li Yisrael, it says in Navi. That Hashem's words are like tal. And it's very, very gentle, very soft. And you learn, as Chazal say, you learn a Mishnah, you learn a Pasuk, you learn a little Gemara, and over time, something happens. You become transformed by those words. It's an amazing koach that Torah has. Nothing else in the world has that koach like the Torah has. That you learn a pasuk, you learn a mishnah, and that somehow over time it breaks through that heart of stone. It's an amazing thing. And the Musa Sfarim talk a great deal about how one of the midas, one of the attributes of the ways, the characteristics of a shaita, is that the einek seal is b'ktzei ha'aretz, that the fool is always looking like at the seal. You understand? I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's what the fool is always looking at the end. That's a way of a fool. The way of a chacham is, right now I have this Gemara, right now I have this pasuk. My job is not to think about whether I'm going to be able to finish this or I'm not going to finish this, how long this is going to take. That's not the way to learn. The way to learn is drip, drip, drip. Right now, this is the water. I'm trying to learn this pasuk. I'm trying to learn this Mishnah. I'm trying to understand this Gemara. I have no worries about how much I'm going to finish, where I'm going to, whether I'm going to make it to any sort of a seum, whether I'm going to have my name up in lights or on the scoreboard at MetLife or something. That's not my inyan. My inyan right now is Teres Hashem. My inyan right now is Teres Hashem. And eini haksil b'kzeiros, the eyes of the fool are always, how will I ever finish Shas? I had this chus yesterday to meet here with about 45, 50 wonderful bachurim from one of the camps, camps over here. They came to visit and I was schmoozing with them. And I see this is the question that's very much on their minds. You know, they got back from Eretz Yisrael, they spent a year or two in Eretz Yisrael in yeshiva, and they heard a lot of sichas about, you know, becoming great Talmid Chachamim and, you know, finishing Shas and accomplishing this and accomplishing that, which are all meant, of course, very sincerely, and are all meant to help the Bochum. But the Bochum, of course, are very troubled by this. How am I supposed to do this? My parents are expecting me to begin law school in September. I'm supposed to be going to college in September. I'm supposed to be starting a job in an office. I got a job. And the impression that we got is that unless I'm going to be able to finish, you know, Shas, and I'm able to accomplish, you know, all of this in my learning, and keep up all my chavrusas, that my, you know, my life is pretty worthless. So this is unbelievably dangerous and discouraging message. Whether the Rebbeim mean it or they don't mean it, that's not important. They're all sincere and they mean well. But very often, what the Bochum take from this is something that's so discouraging that they just throw in the towel. That was, what's the tachlis of my drop of water? I mean, I said to one of the boys yesterday, he's supposed to be going to medical school. And so one of his Rebbeim is talking about how he has to keep up, you know, his chavrusas and he can't. And I said, in all due respect, if you're going to do that, you're not really going to be successful in medical school. So you need to decide if you want to go to medical school. If you want to go to medical school, you better take your classes seriously. And you better study hard and you better go to the library and go to lab and do your work. And if you have only a half hour a day to learn, then you make it consistent and you make the best of it. But the idea is not what you're being told to go to medical school, but you're actually still really in yeshiva, but your parents want you to become a doctor. And if you're in that mode, then you know, I feel bad for any person you're going to be operating on one day or prescribing medicine to one day. That's not the doctor that I would want working on any Jew in the world. Maybe on some Yishmaelim to this and that, but not in, you know, we could operate on some in Hadassah Hospital on some chevra from East Jerusalem, but not on any of our brothers or sisters. I wouldn't want such a doctor. You're supposed to be studying hard and doing your work and going to live and being a good student and taking it seriously and reading all the medical journals and doing your work. As far as Torah is concerned, listen, if you made this decision, I'm not saying whether you should be a doctor, you shouldn't be a doctor, but if you made the decision to be a doctor, then do what you're supposed to do and be good at it. What about learning? You're not in yeshiva. So what did Jews do for thousands of years? Minimally, a person is mikrecha b'yom, mikrecha b'baika, mikrecha b'layla. So you're mekayem the mitzvah, mikrecha b'yom b'layla. And if you opted for that program, then try to learn a little bit of something in the morning and try to learn a little bit of something at night. And to be yotze the minimum requirement of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because you opted for that program. You didn't opt for the Talmud Chacham program. You opted for the doctor program, which is fine. You could certainly do that. You could also opt for the truck driver program. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a truck driver. You do it. You're an Halacha Yid, and you do things honestly. So you opted for the truck driver program. Then you're on that program. And if you're on that program, you have to do your melacha, your work in a way that's honest and that's Halach. And if you're getting paid, then you're getting paid to do that work, and you work the hours you're supposed to work, and you're not taking off time in the middle of work. Finishing a Blad Gemara or learning yeshiva because you really are frustrated yeshiva bacher or a Karlo guy that had to leave Karlo, and now you're trying to figure out how could I get away with my job and still be a yeshiva bacher. You're not a yeshiva bacher, you're not in Karlo, you're working and you're on a different program now, and do the best you can to learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and if you have some time on vacation, make the most of your Friday nights, make the most of your Shabbos days, and your Masei Shabbos is. And if you're off on Sunday, Ashrecha, and go to Shir, and go learn and put in your time. But not on the cheshbon of your boss, whether he's Jewish or he's not Jewish. Not anybody else's cheshbon. Not only if you're a doctor, whatever you're doing, you have to do what you're supposed to be doing. But that's the trademark of the ksil. Ein ksil b'ktzeres means that the fool always feels, how come I didn't finish Bavli or Yerushalmi, and therefore he'll feel unless he's in that, on that program, he feels that he's a failure. He's a failure to Hashem, he's a failure to his Rebbe. No, the Torah says all you have to worry about right now is this drop of water, and if you have a drop of time to learn a drop of water of Torah, Ashrecha, enjoy it and drink it up and make the most of it. Because it's fantastic. Even a drop of water is fantastic. Even a drop of Torah is fantastic. Even a drop of his bitadus is delicious. And you don't have to have any kind of big programs. And that's not the point, is to make programs. I know that's a very popular thing nowadays, is to have all kinds of programs. For some people it works. For many, many people it's terrible. You don't have to have program. Your program is to be consistent, that your life should be a life of a carbon talmud. That's the life of a Jew, of a carbon talmud, of tmidius and tmimus. This is how Jews lived for thousands of years. Tmidius and tmimus. pashtus and tmidius, consistent every day in shul, every day mishnayis, every day blat gemara, whatever it is, but every day without fanfare, without making a million parties every time you did something in your Yiddishkeit, just tmidius, tmimus, and pashtus, to learn Torah and to enjoy every drop, and to know that every single drop that you're learning is mamish, the rain and the dew of Torah has the powerful effect upon the heart, to penetrate the heart and to do it, but it has to get to the place that it has to get to. The ikur is akev zechat tasa b'boker, is akev zechat tasa ben harbayim, consistent, that's the ikur. Hasoid shel tipos amayim, this secret of the drops of water, Rabbi Kiva's, if Rabbi Kiva wouldn't have seen the stone that day with the water, could you imagine we wouldn't have had a Rabbi Kiva? We would have had an angry, maybe like an angry shepherd that might not have even been frum. You understand? That could have happened. Because that happens to a lot of the guys. You could have been like an angry shepherd. Why did God mess me up like this? I wanted to learn and I didn't see I was getting anywhere. And I followed what they told me in yeshiva. And I didn't see that I still have a Yetzirah. I still am not becoming a Talmud Chacham. I'm not getting anywhere. Forget it. I'm just going to be a shepherd. That's what I know how to do. So it could have been an angry shepherd not putting on tefillin. That could have been Rabbi Akiva. An angry shepherd was Michal Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Akiva saw the rock and he took it to heart and he understood that those drops of water come to your heart. And the ikar, the avoid of a Jew is a drop, another drop, another drop, another drop. And over time, what needs to be accomplished is accomplished. And if you don't see the results in this world, Hashem shows you the results in the next world. I already mentioned too many times that the Baruch Shalom shows you all the Torah that you learned and everything is given back to you, even what you forgot. And you see in the next world what your life would have been, how different your life would have been if not for those couple of minutes of Mishnayis a day, if not for the couple of seconds of Hasbardus or learning a little bit of Gemara or Chumash Rashi, how different life would have been. To be grateful for those drops and those moments and to enjoy them and not to have to worry about where is this all getting me. That whole svara of where is this getting me is not really Jewish. It's not really Jewish. Where is this getting me? This is getting you. This is right now. B'zayis yova aaron l'kaidus. This moment. That's all. Gamim zarak tipa acha tipa. Even if it's one drop after another drop. Hasmada she'ena posekis. The ikur is, it's hasmada she'ena posekis. It doesn't stop. That's the ikur. It's continuous. Drip, drip, drip. It's continuous. Isn't there something like Chinese torture? They used to say, I remember that was on television, like when you were kids, that they have this thing of Chinese torture. Chinese, you know, they could wait things out. Americans have to everything right away. I don't know if they eat fast food in China. I know they eat dogs and monkeys in Wuhan. But I don't know about Chinese torture, but I remember hearing as a kid the Chinese water drip. It's like a torture. You hear that? I don't know. That they put a guy in a chair. And they don't make out like, you know, Americans, they right, they'll start to yell and scream, whatever. The Chinese, they just tie you up on a chair and they put you there for like, you know, for whatever, like 3 weeks or something, and they have water dripping on your head. And the guy eventually will talk about whatever they want to talk about. It works. It makes a hole in your head. And even if it's not making a physical hole in your head, it makes you crazy. Allah has come of a kama when it comes to something which is holy, which are drops of Torah. That drip, drip, drip. Allah has come of a kama. That's why I see that in general, the parents that are more patient and they know how to have, like, isn't there's something now in medicine that they could put something inside of a person, or you could take like a pill, it's like a slow drip, isn't it? Right? There's something like that slow release or time release, right? Somebody was telling me that there are a lot of people now that Erev Tisha B'Av, they took a time release pill. To go something, it drips, I don't know, something inside of you that it makes that you shouldn't be hungry. So he wanted to know, I mean, he didn't ask me before Tisha B'Av, you understand? Yes, after Tisha B'Av, he wanted to know, was that a good thing? So I said, you're asking me for next Tisha B'Av, you want to know about yesterday? Well, I want to know if it was wrong. It was wrong. So I said, no, I don't want, I'm not saying it's against halacha. No. Maybe the Baruch Shalom wanted you, unless you're sick or something, maybe the Baruch Shalom wants you to be hungry and thirsty on Tisha B'Av, be a healthy person. Maybe that was the point, that you should be hungry and thirsty. I know a lot of people don't think that anymore. They think that on Tisha B'Av, there must be some way that I can get away without being hungry or thirsty. There must be some way to avoid what Chazal wanted us to feel on Tisha B'Av, but I don't know. But Ben Kach, he told me there's such a thing as a time release, that you swallow some pill Erev Tisha B'Av, and that throughout the entire Tanis, that this thing lets go of something, this pill releases something inside of you that makes you feel like you ate it. I don't know. They have pills like that. I know they could put, they have surgery where they can insert like a port into somebody. This is already for a sick person. That's a serious thing. I'm not talking about fasting. Is they can insert some kind of a port and you don't have to go all the time to get shots. It could drip inside. It's a time-release medicine. It's a chashuva thing that they made such a thing. It's a very good thing that it's able to do that. So you see that tzibislach, one drop and another drop, the ikir is that it's supposed to be consistent. I think that these people are that they're being monitored in some office or something. And if chalila, I'm not talking about the guy with tisha, I'm talking about a person who needs, you know, some real medicine. So that they monitor it, and if it stops, then they find out and they have to do something to help the guy right away with the machine, that he shouldn't be chalila, he shouldn't get sick. So we see that this inyan of the dripping water, when you have a parent, there's some parents that they want it should be right away with their kid. Einek seal, the eyes of the fool, this parent looks at his kid, and when he looks at his kid, he wants this should be Moshe Feinstein. My kid should be the Lubavitcher Rebbe, or should be the Chavetz Chaim or the Chassam Sofer, and he makes the kid totally crazy. He can make the kid totally crazy, and then Mimela, the Mooster he gives is all like atom bombs and hydrogen bombs, and he kills the kid with all these bombs. And you have other parents that it's more like time release. The Yiddish kind to give over is like drip, drip, drip. To give over like a time release pill of Yiddish kind. It takes longer. It's a derech arucha shehik tzar, but it works. Like the Tanya says, the whole inyan of the Tanya, as he writes the Rebbe in that, after Rebbe in Hagdom, is derech arucha shehik tzar. It's a long path, but it's a short path. It's short. In the end, it will get you to the right destination. It's the same thing when it comes to esbaidus, drip, drip. The ikir is consistency. Hasmodesh and a pesekis, my son is koch otzum. It's unbelievably powerful. Then you'll see. Also, when you talk to your kid, when there's a consistency, especially when your child sees in your own behavior a certain consistency. But you have the kind of a guy that you don't really conduct yourself in the right way, but you just give some big, powerful speech every now and then to your kid, like, you know, like some pre-Kol Nidre speech or something. So that doesn't really work much. But if you're just doing the right thing, it's consistent, and you treat the kid in a fair way, it's drip, 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 that eventually breaks through. You even see that the word koveya is the same oisius as the word bokeya. Bikius. Bikius not with an aleph. Bikius meaning to break through. To be bokeya means when something penetrates, it breaks through. Levakeya sela. And keva is the same oisius as beka. Beis kufayin, to break through, is the same letters as kufav kuvveis ayin, which means kvius. Something should be kavua. Kavua. Kshetikva says bardus. So if you set up the time for his bardus, kavua. Tirashala atlaat, slowly, slowly, he. Tibaka as leva ever. Slowly, don't right away expect that I'm gonna be like a, you know, Rabbi Nachman came back into this world in 2021. I'm Rabbi Nachman, and don't think that all of a sudden everything's gonna be answered, and all of a sudden all of these amazing things you heard about his baridus, you're gonna feel these things. That's not how it works. A, because of what I said before, that there are a lot of klipas due to the rock is a hard rock because of all of our avayers. The rock is very hard. And the stone heart of Golas, and the rock that we made adding on stuff because of our avayos. And it's a big nisayon, and to get through and to be able to prove to Hashem that we're serious, we're sincere. And the way to prove that is not by some one-time great dramatic, you know, undertaking, but lot, slowly. Those are the most successful people in everything in life. The ones who go with this program of drip, drip, those are the ones who are most successful. And that's why the pasuk says in such a way, Shivchi kamayim libech. That's why the Navi Yirmiyah says, Shivchi kamayim libech. Pour your heart out like water. So when you think of that, pour your heart out like water, you might think of Niagara Falls. But what we're learning now is, now don't pour your heart out. It doesn't have to be, and maybe it shouldn't be like Niagara Falls. Just pour out your heart, drip, drip. It's okay. That's going to get you to a place that's called Noichach B'nei Hashem, and it'll get you to the end zone. It'll get you to that place of Noichach B'nei Hashem. He tarmes libcha hakasha ke'evet. That's what's going to lift up and open up that heart of stone. Hamunach lamata betachtis aretz. It's like the stone that's deep in the earth. It's very, very hard. Lamaila, that's how you lift up. Also, it's a very heavy boulder. That's a big, heavy boulder. You're trying to build something and there are boulders over there. You got to lift up the boulder. El Hashem Yisbarach. And that, of course, is going to bring now the famous Moshe that's brought down in Chaim Aran that I've mentioned many times over the years that you all know. Kamesha Kosev Rabbeinu on page Kufav in this edition. Kamesha Kosev Rabbeinu B'dvarav HaNefloim B'Chaim Aran. This Moshe in Chaim Aran. Pam Achaz Dibir Rabbeinu Zechron Levoche in my Rav Yaakov Yosef Me'inyin Avodas Hashem Kedarko Tomit. Rabbi Nachman said over a marshal of a king who sent his son far away, to learn all kinds of chachmas. And the son came back from being somewhere far away by some big university. He came back with all kinds of chachmas. So now the king wanted to test the wisdom of his educated Ivy League son, and he said to him that there's a certain Eved Gadol, a very, very large boulder, and he said, I want you to take this large boulder, come on, Eved HaRechaim, like was used in the Rechaim, you know, the grinding, like a grinding stone, he's big, a big, heavy stone, and I want you, the king told his very educated, you know, son, take this Velisoisai al Alias Beso. I want you to take this boulder and to carry it up to the second floor, or whatever, the third floor. Take it upstairs. I need this upstairs. Take this upstairs. Mistama Loha Yochala Ben Lisa Lahar Mesa Evan. And Mistama, this brilliant educated son, was pushing and pulling, and the king said, You have to do it yourself. You can't get a crew. You have to do it yourself. So he's probably trying to figure out how to make a lever and how to do something with this to get this boulder up. And it's not going. It's very heavy. When it's Tar HaBen Ma'oi, and the son, the prince, was very upset. He couldn't do what his father, what the king asked him to do. Ad she gila lehamelach daita achakach, until the king told him afterwards, Hayala Daita Khashaniya Tsavalah Dava Kabit Kaza. The king said, What do you think? I'm stupid? You think that I expected you on your own, without any other people helping you? You think I expected you to be able to carry this boulder, to take this upstairs? And I would ask you to do something that's impossible, which many people feel about Yiddishkeit. They feel that God is asking us to do something which we can't do. It's not possible to lift up a boulder that we can't lift up. So the king says, Hayal al daitu chashani atzabalach adove kovit kezalakachas evan kamoishahu. Do you think that I meant that you should take this stone, this boulder, to get rid of it, or take it upstairs the way that it is? Lisa lahar maisai? And the prince is saying, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you wanted me to take this thing the way that it is, upstairs. He said, how could I ask a human being? How could I ask you, and especially since you're my son, do you think I'd want you to get a hernia or to die under this boulder, that I would ask you to take such a thing and to carry it upstairs? And because you're such a chacham, you went to all the fancy schools and you came back being a big expert, you know, in all different subjects and physics. So you figured out, you think that I thought that based upon what you studied in the university in physics, that you're going to be able to figure out how to take this boulder upstairs. So the kid wants to know, so then what were you thinking? You told me to carry this upstairs. So what were you thinking? My entire intention was to see if you're really a chacham, to take a hammer, a big sledgehammer, to fight this, and to shatter the rock, the tiny little pebbles and pieces. And you'd be able to take the entire thing upstairs. So Rabbi Nachman said that marshal. Hashem is Baruch Tziv Aleinu, Nisalav Aveinu, El Kabayim, El Kelba Shemayim, to lift your hearts up in your hands, to take your hearts in your hands and lift up your hearts to Shemayim, to Hashem. Ulu Aveinu Hulev, Evan, God of the Kavit Ma'ai. But the heart of a person is a heavier boulder than the one in the king's courtyard. The heart of a person is heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy and it's hard. So Hashem never ever expected us or asked us to do something that we can't do. To lift up a Yiddishkeit that's too heavy for us. To keep mitzvahs if it's too heavy for us. It says in Pasuk Yikar v'lach ha'dav ma'arit, v'ficha b'lovav v'chala'asos, the Torah is close to you. You could do it. It's not too hard for you. You could do it. I never asked you such a thing. There's a famous moshe from Dubna Magid that I'm sure you remember, which he brings with a pasuk. But there was a guy that he took a horse and wagon, and with a couple of other people on the wagon, and the job of the wagon driver is to also bring everybody's bags into the hotel. So the guy tells the passenger, he sees him in the lobby. He says, "Okay, I did the job. You know, I carried your bags. I brought your bags into the lobby. So I want 100 rubles." The guy says, "100 rubles for carrying the bags into the, what kind of 100 rubles?" So he says, "Well," he says that. The suitcases, the 10 suitcases, and each one weighs like 50 pounds. I'm exhausted. I killed myself to schlep your suitcases. So the guy says, "I'm really sorry. Those are not my suitcases. I showed you which were my suitcases. You took somebody else's suitcases. I have one carry-on that weighs whatever, 10 pounds. That's all I did not give you. I did not ask you to carry all of these suitcases into the hotel." So the Dubna Magid brought a pasuk, ki yagata bi Yisrael. If you find a Yiddishkeit that's too hard for you, it means you're not serving me. It means you got somebody else's bags. It's a gewaltige mashal. If you find that Yiddishkeit is overwhelming for you, it means you took the wrong bags. Because Hashem says, "I didn't make it something you can't do. You could do it. I made the Torah that you could do it. It means you're doing something wrong, or you hooked up with some rabbi that made you crazy. This is you. I didn't tell you that you're 18 years old and you have to carry Shas Bavli and Yerushalmi. You know, I didn't ask you to do such a thing. You got to be. You're working for somebody else. You're not working for me. My job does not require carrying a boulder up five flights. I don't require that. You got some other religion." In Yiddishkeit, your heart is heavy. You break it into small pieces and you carry it up piece by piece. Drop, another drop, another drop. That's how you panevet Hashem. That's how you serve me. It's not too heavy. If it's too heavy, you're doing something wrong. If you find you just got too heavy, you're doing something wrong. My father, Olav Shalom, wanted me to, he always had hopes that I would like be able to like assemble things that came, you know, that he brought to the house and with the instructions, and he wanted me to like put stuff together. He was great at that, like putting stuff together. And he was always disappointed that like that I wasn't good at that, putting stuff together. So I remember I was maybe 13 or 14 and he picked up something, I don't know, like a barbecue or whatever it is, I was supposed to put it together. And my father comes back like, an hour later, like I'm still looking at the pieces and stuff. And my father said, like, this job should not have taken you more than 15 minutes. It means you're doing something wrong. If you're sitting here an hour later and you're kretching with this one, and well, you know, like you ever remember a time when you were putting something, you're trying to put something together and like that piece didn't really fit and you just like, you start slamming on it to make it fit. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe not. I don't know if you ever had that, but it means that this is like, you're not putting it together right. If you got a hammer and you're trying to slam that piece into the other piece because it didn't go in, it means that you got the wrong piece. And it's the same thing with Yiddishkeit. If you find that your way of being a Jew is like with sledgehammers, it means that you got the wrong Yiddishkeit. The Baruch Shalom didn't do it like that. He didn't give it to us in such a way. You got somebody else's bags. You're carrying somebody else's luggage. And the worst thing is that you go around your whole life saying, I can't believe God did this to me. God told me to do this. God did this to me. And the Baruch Shalom is saying, I never did that to you. I never gave you those. I never gave you such luggage. I never gave you such a thing. But you took that upon yourself, or someone told you have to do that. That's not my Torah. That's some other religion. It's not the Yiddishkeit that I gave you. My Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit of Yairov Kamat Aluchi, Tizakatalam Rossi. It's rain, it's the dew. Yiddishkeit is Ni'imais B'Mincha Netzach. Drachecha Darchei Noam. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. The ways of Yiddishkeit are pleasant, they're enjoyable. They're not necessarily easy, but they're doable and they're pleasurable. It's doable and it's pleasurable. And that's what this marshal of Rabbi Nachman is teaching. That's what this marshal is about. Rabbi Nachman is saying that speech, words, are like a sledgehammer. When a Jew continuously every day speaks to Hashem, it's like a powerful jackhammer, sledgehammer, and it breaks the boulder into tiny little pieces. It breaks the boulder into little davening, his body, those drops of water. It breaks the boulder into pebbles, and then the heart is broken into little pieces, and every little piece you can lift up. Every little piece you can lift up very easily. And that's certainly what we can lift up to Hashem. We could all lift our hearts. We could all break our hearts of stone. But the ikkar is consistency. Drop after drop. That's how we're able to break through. That's from Chaim Aharon. Then the Mechaber continues and explains. Rav Carmel continues and explains. Even in the beginning of his bardus, when you're starting, you find that it's very hard. Even the 5 minutes, the 10 minutes, you find that it's very hard. Oruch, it seems like it doesn't end. Blichias ve'ha'ara. And you feel like you're not getting anything out of it. There's no chias, there's no or. There's no excitement, there's no light, there's no light. There's no chias, there's no or. La'at, la'at, yo'ir l'cha Hashem Yisbarach, slowly, slowly, you begin to see that aur coming. La'at, la'at, yo'ir l'cha Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem will shine this light slowly. K'shiyir ish'at ha'misakish, when the Baruch Shalom sees that you're stubborn, and you keep up with it, and you're consistent. Ve'incha meniach es mekaimcha, you don't run away from the job. You keep on working at it. You don't give up. Then, Hu Yor Lacham may Oirai, then Hashem will illuminate your life with that light, with the light of His Bardus, with the light of Dveikus. Hachetiske Lahovin Lahagish, until you begin to understand, and not only understand, but you begin to feel. That not only is this not hard, not only is this not too heavy for you, but this is the greatest pleasure of your life. You enjoy this brother so much that minutes pass by so quickly because that's how much you enjoy it. In the beginning, it's hard. But if you follow this advice, then over time, you're going to have such chias, you're going to have such chias, such life from this. K'may Shekosef Rabbeinu, as Rabbi Nachman writes, look at the Ran Tess, Ki ikar achias makabla me'atvila. The greatest chias that a Jew can have in his life is from davening. As it says in Pasuk, Tfila lekel chayai. Tfila to the God of my life. Which means, Rabbi Nachman explains, means that tfila gives a person tremendous, tremendous, tremendous chiyus, energy and excitement, davening. That doesn't mean to say that Torah doesn't and mitzvahs don't, but there's nothing that has the ability to give as much chiyus, because through davening, person, the dveikus that a person has through davening, it brings chiyus to everything. Because then you, when you're learning, you feel you feel why am I learning? What's the whole tachlis of my learning this? For whose sake am I learning this? For whose sake? Why am I learning this? I saw recently in a cipher, I don't remember, there was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael that when he gives two or three shiurim to the whole yeshiva a week, and every time he begins, before he starts the shiur klali, he says to the boys, chevra, I want you to remember who gave us the Torah. And I want you to remember why we're learning Torah. And I want each and every one of you and myself to daven that today in our learning we should be successful. And we should remember the one who gave us the Torah. And we should be successful. And we should understand what we're learning. For a minute, a talk. I don't remember who the Rashi was. That's a yeshiva to send your kid to. If you have a reshiva like that, wow. That's a reshiva. Some other reshiva might say, it's bittul Torah, what's he taking away time from the shiur for some kind of, a rest of a business? What is that? No, that's called Yiddishkeit 001. Beginner's Yiddishkeit. That's how you begin. You begin. You remember what this is for and why I'm doing this. Davening brings a person to that place more than anything. So that when you're learning, Even when you start learning, with a little bit of a tefillah. And during the learning, you stop every now and then for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, a little bit of a tefillah. That makes your life filled with chiyus. Whatever you're doing then is filled with chiyus. Oz tira, then you will see. Shashar hi zman katsa ma'ay. Then you'll feel that an hour, I need more time for this. An hour is too little. The Kaishi Evshala Haspik Lishbach is called Alev, Lashemishbach is Man Kaikot. There's not enough time. I have so much to talk about. There's so much that I want to say. An hour is not enough. No, so I had many times over the years, like I'll have a conversation with a Bacher that he just started going out with a girl. And oftentimes the boy will complain and he'll say to me, Rebbe, I don't know. I don't have really what so much to talk about. I don't have so much to talk about. So I'll ask him, tell me something, Yankel. Do you think she's pretty? He says, yeah, she's pretty. I said, soon you're going to be talking too much. Don't worry. You'll be talking plenty. You're not going to want her to go away so fast. So in the beginning, it's hard for you to talk, but you'll see how it's going to be. You'll be able to talk plenty. You're going to have to get somebody to stop you from talking to her. That's how much you're going to talk to her. Right now, you're saying, I don't know what to do. I don't have anything to talk about. Okay. We'll see. You'll have plenty what to talk about. You can have too much to talk about. So over time, it becomes very enjoyable once you get to know the girl and you spend some time. So, halachas kama v'kama, when it comes to the Baruch Shalom, it becomes so enjoyable. You're going to want to spend more time. You're not going to go away from it because it's the most amazing time of the day. Until you'll finally be able to understand what was Rabbi Yochanan talking about there in the Gemara. In Brachas, Alvai, she is Pala Adam Kalayam Kulo. The Rabbi Yochanan says such a thing. Alvai, I wish, if only I could spend my whole day davening. Because in Rabbi Yochanan's name has in it a lashon of tchina, of davening, veschanan. This parasha is Rabbi Yochanan's the inyan of veschanan, of tefillah. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Alvai, she is Pala Adam Kalayam Kulo. Alvai, if I could only spend the whole day davening. To us, that sounds totally crazy. You can't think of anything more boring in the world. Can you imagine? If you imagine you join some new shul and you come there, and it's the first day you're in the shul, and you move to a new neighborhood, you went to a new shul, and the rabbi gets up by his first drasha that you hear, the first drasha you hear from him, the rabbi says that he says, listen, Chevra, what my goal here is that you should want to daven the whole day. You should stay in shul. Which it says in the Dovah Hashem, we're going to be starting soon. Shifty Beis Hashem Kol Yimei, then I want to stay the whole day in shul. And the rabbi says that by the drasha, that my goal is to bring you to a point where you're going to be all day long in shul. You know, not only is the new guy going to run away, but he's going to lose the whole chevra. The only one that's going to be left is some like deaf old lady in the Ezra's Noshim. She's going to be staying over there. Everybody else leaves shul. If he says, my tachlis is you should daven all day, you can't even know what Rabbi Yochanan talking about. To daven all day, it's hard for me to, I tie myself that I should come, especially I should come late for davening, I should leave early. It's always the same guys that come late, leave early. You know what I'm talking about? It's interesting, because you would think that if a guy came late, he would stay late. But it's always the same guy that comes late to shul, leaves early from shul. He doesn't want to be there. So he comes late and leaves early. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lavai shispalam kol yom kulo." I hope my goal is I should daven all day long. That sounds crazy, but when a person mamish is in this place of a relationship dveikus, the same way lahavdil, the guy doesn't want to leave his girlfriend, and you're having such a nice time, you don't want to leave. Lavai shispalam kol yom kulo. Lavai should be able to be in this conversation. I should be in this dveikus. I should be in this with these divorim all day long. Alavai should be able to stay in this place. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Which, when we can understand, that's not, we can't live that way. We have to learn and do all of the stuff we need to do. But when we can understand how Rabbi Yochanan felt, then it means that we've accomplished something very big. We could understand what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. That's already a good thing. Alavai, we should be able to come to that point soon. Not no rush. But otherwise, we should be able to get to that point soon. If I don't see you, I wish each and every one of you should have a lechtig in Shabbos Nachamu and a lechtig in Tubav and all those who are in need of Shidduchim and Zivugim and Shemesh Baruch should send a proper, good Shidduchim. And all those in your marriages, Shemesh Baruch should give you more and more Simcha, more and more Nachas, more and more Ahava. Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas HaTorah, Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. And we should be Zeichim with Hashem with the blessed Farmitas. Amen.